some further thoughts on a topic that was discussed yesterday? Transcendental sausageology. So, ISKCON went through its sociology phase, and now we're coming into the sausageology phase. One thought about that: the proposition was that in a festive mood, devotees sometimes eat vegetarian sausages. So one thought about this term, festive mood. Of course, Krishna consciousness is full of festivals. Srimad Bhagavatam describes Krishna Leela as Nitya Mahotsav, or a daily festival. And practically in Krishna consciousness, we have a daily festival that our life is so livable that whereas most people in the world today, they like to sleep as long as they can in the morning. And the alarm clock is the most hated invention in the house. One friend of mine at school told me that his father went through several alarm clocks a month. He'd smash them, throw them out the window. Literally. But we get up voluntarily at latest 4 o'clock. And we start every day by dancing without intoxication. That's what I realized when I first came to the temple Bhaktivedanta Manor near London. And by the arrangement of Krishna, I had to stay overnight. And had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, which I never heard of such a thing. None of us had ever heard of such a thing. Maybe unless your father was a baker or a postman or a farmer, yeah, milking the cows. But nowadays, even the farmers, they also don't get up. They let the cows sit with the milk in there. Maybe in this country, yeah. But you still have to get up early. So, as I was still trying to wonder what was going on after, you know, not only to get me up, but they put me in a shower, which I also, you know, I didn't ever use a shower. And especially, you know, a cold one, and it was snowing outside. In those days, we didn't have any, like, gradual preaching or bhakti programs. It's like, you know, there's no bridge preaching. Just, you're in the temple, okay, you're up, and it's cold shower. And then Mangal Aarti at 4:30, and I saw all these people dancing in Mangal Aarti at 4:30 in the morning. I thought, wow, this got to be, either these people are totally insane, or this is something amazingly wonderful. And even if they're insane, it's a lot better than all the insane people out there. So, better be insane this way than that way. So every day is a festival that we like to get up early in the morning and dance for Krishna. And not only that, but the beautiful forms of Radha and Krishna. So everything is festive. So festivity is encouraged. And we also have special festivals in which there is special prasad, although I didn't used to see vegetarian sausages and non-alcoholic beer on the diet. That's a more recent introduction. But in the festivals in Krishna consciousness, what happens first is there's katha and kirtan, plenty of talking about Krishna, lots of kirtan, aratis, maybe abhishek, and at the end there's prasadam. Prasadam offered to Krishna, his remnants, usually. Or maybe some special items according to the festival. So prasadam distribution is, the whole festival culminates in that. That's the last point. But if we say in a festive mood, we're leaving out all the katha, the kirtan, the aratis, and we just want to have a festival only with sausages. It's not, the idea of a festival for glorification of Krishna is lost, and it just becomes sense gratification, that's all. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to criticize the Malpoa festivals, where the main thing was the Malpoa, which in ISKCON in the West, I think it's called Malpuris, but they don't cook such things anymore. It used to be a standard item which Prabhupada introduced. You cook what in Bengali is called a luchi. It's like a puri. Well, there are different ways of doing it. But anyway, some cooked grains like a little cake, and then that's soaked in sugar water, or in ISKCON, in the West, we used to soak it in thick yogurt, sweet yogurt, like that. So that for the festival, these so-called Babajis and bogus Vaishnavas, their festival would be centered around Malpoa, because that's like an item that should be served in every festival. But that was it. That was the main thing that they all came for. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he instituted in the Gauriya Math that they would have festivals, lots of katha. Like there's a description that they'd have a festival in the Gauriya Math, and like every corner there'd be a different sannyasi sitting and speaking, and himself speaking to different people, and like that. So mostly they had speaking. So he wanted to take out because the whole idea of the festival had just become, instead of glorification of Krishna, it had simply become, the whole idea is that on this day we offer special items to Krishna, and then the devotees, being pleased with what is offered to Krishna, they honor that prasadam. That's the idea. Just like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are descriptions of so many items offered. And if we read it, we may think, wow, that's really great, sounds really good. But the idea is that Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is written by a pure devotee of Krishna for the pleasure of pure devotees of Krishna, who take pleasure in hearing of all the items that are offered to Krishna for his pleasure. Not that we're reading it and our tongue starts salivating and we're thinking all the nice items I could enjoy. So it's a completely different mentality. So this idea that we will have in a festive mood, we will offer these items. All right, festival's okay, good, have a festival every day. But understand that the festival means to glorify Krishna. So even if you want to offer your offer, who are you going to offer them to, by the way? I mean, we're supposed to take prasadam. Which avatar is that? Who eats vegetarian sausages? So, festival is good, but the essence of the festival is and of life, of being, of actual life means to glorify Krishna. So that's the sahajiya's technique, prakrita sahajiya's, to convert the service to Krishna, which is naturally joyful, just to convert that into enjoyment for ourselves in the name of Krishna consciousness. And the whole thing becomes spoiled. Then there's no bliss. There's festive mood, but then it becomes festive like a mundane party. And eventually that will degrade further. Because the the Krishna conscious element of how we have to please Krishna, that is lost. And then it's, you're on a slippery slope, heading downward. Just like I was informed today, you may know, in Sarajevo a few years ago, there was one group of devotees that was involved in what was called bridge preaching or something like that. They have various names for this, in which they said, well, in our meetings, we won't chant Hare Krishna, and we won't say the name of Krishna. We don't want to have anyone, nothing about Krishna whatsoever. Very strange. And no one dresses as a devotee. I mean, what did they do at all? I'm not sure what they did at all. But somehow or other, it was supposed to be some kind of preaching. And now the person who was spearheading this, the charismatic figure who was bringing many people in, what is it? Revati, you told me. What are they doing? They're serving wine, offering wine. That's wine and coffee and all this kind of things. It's like in the Christian system, right? You have to offer wine in the Catholic Mass. In the Orthodox Church also? They have that, or is that a Catholic thing? Only in the Catholic. You don't have any Orthodox here. Wine and what else? Wine and coffee. So, it meat also. It may come also, because in the church, really. So, unless Krishna is kept very clearly in the center, and unless the consciousness that we are here to serve Krishna, who is the supreme enjoyer, is kept very strong, then everything will degrade. Because once we allow that spirit of personal enjoyment to enter, then it's Maya is in like a needle and out like a plow. That's why we always have to strive for purity. We may say, well, it's too much, so many rules and regulations, it's too extreme and this and that. But unless we keep the ideal strong, we know that we are not strong. But if we make allowances for Maya, then everything will degrade, because the consciousness is changed from the consciousness of serving Krishna, surrender to Krishna, to let's see how we can enjoy. And the diseased mentality, which we're accustomed to for millions of lifetimes, will tend to promote that. Yes, let's see how we can enjoy some more, and some more, and some more. And then everything degrades. So, always someone is trying to introduce something or other in the name, always with very pious sounding reasons for doing so. That we're introducing this or that or something else, and the reason is given so we can make people Krishna conscious, so we can accommodate people, this, that. And it may be in some cases, but in many cases that I see, it's just a little compromise, or maybe a bigger compromise, and then gradually everything becomes lost. So there's no harm if we, in fact, it's very good to stick to the basic program that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us, which is the Jaiva Dharma, or the constitutional activity of the soul, which is to serve Krishna in the way that he likes, by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, the basic processes of Krishna consciousness. There's no harm in this. Not only is there no harm, but there's guaranteed all good by doing so. Whereas with so many other, as soon as we start to change it a little bit, then we don't know. Then it becomes doubtful. and becomes more and more doubtful the more we change it. So Krishna consciousness itself is pleasing to the soul because it's pleasing to Krishna. That's what we read yesterday. That relationships between individual souls are to be made by the via media of the super soul, by putting Krishna in the center. So similarly, by putting Krishna in the center, then we become happy. Not the idea that we'll use Krishna as an excuse to try to make ourselves happy independently of Krishna. It doesn't work. It doesn't happen. So, yeah, there's always someone who's trying to adjust things in a manner that is... Of course, acharyas may make adjustments, but they're able to do so in a manner that will help people to become Krishna conscious. But even with adjustments, we should understand that they are adjustments, and that can be dangerous or if it's not handled carefully. Just like Srila Prabhupada allowed much more mixing between the sexes than is traditional in Vaishnav society or Vedic society, seeing the condition in the world in the West. He saw that it wasn't possible to, it wasn't very practical to insist in the beginning that men and women be separated to the degree that they are in traditional Vedic society. But at the same time, we should understand that there's danger in that, and Srila Prabhupada himself gave so many warnings about that, that he, in the proximity of fire, it's going to melt. It's a scientific principle. So if man and woman are brought close together, then there's going to be some reaction. Therefore, Shastra warns, Matra swastra duhitrava navi viktasano bhavet. Balavan indriya gramo vidvangsan apikarshati. That one should not sit close to one's mother, sister, or even to one's mother, sister, or daughter, because the senses are so powerful that in such a circumstance, even a learned person may be disturbed. So that may sound, well, that's how can that be? But the power of Maya is very strong. So one should be very cautious. Prabhupada made that adjustment, but at the same time, he gave us warnings that be careful. So that's just one example. But always there will be persons who are trying to make adjustments in various ways that are not conducive for advancement in Krishna consciousness. And certain allowances are given, especially for householders. Srila Prabhupada said that in household life there is a license for sense gratification. License means you're allowed to do, but under some restriction. Not that a license gives you the right to have unrestricted sense gratification, but the tendency is, as soon as there's some consciousness of sense gratification, to take that further and further and further and further. So, sannyasis are also required to come around and speak and say, this is the proper standard. All right, you're in a andhakupa, a deep dark well, but you see the light up there? You're supposed to come out to that. You're not supposed to remain in the darkness forever. Tamasi ma jyotir gamaya. Come out of the darkness, come to the light. So that is required, that sannyasi should come and say these things. It may be that it's very difficult for householders to hear all these things, but they require to hear it. And sannyasis traditionally don't spend more than 3 days in one place, because you may get too much for the householders to hear all these things. And the sannyasi themselves, they may become compromised by living comfortably. So they're supposed to keep on moving. So householders, that's grihastha ashram, they should hear these things so that when the age of enjoyment, that's youth, that recedes, one becomes older and one starts to see how, well, this body, it was good for enjoying previously, but now it's giving more and more trouble. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that, Briddha kala ailo shab shuk bhagalo. I'm thinking of this myself. Now old age has approached, and all material happiness has simply run away. So in youth, there's... the body gives some feeling of, yeah, now we can enjoy. But gradually, one thing after another, as the body becomes weaker, and one thing after another goes wrong. I mean, the body's very complex, and there's so many things that can go wrong, and do go wrong. And you get to learn all kinds of things about the body. You didn't even know there were such things existed. And then when they break or they fail, then you learn all about it. So then if one has heard throughout life that sharir avidyajal, this body, is a net of ignorance, Tahe jara indriya kal, and the senses, they simply lead us to death. If we go on hearing this throughout life, we may not have much realization in youth. But as we get older, then we start to understand. Yeah, it's true. But if we don't hear these things, then we become like we see in the Western countries, how in old age the women are still putting nail polish on their toes, which, I don't know, it seems pretty stupid to me at any age to do, but when you're like 80 years old, it becomes extraordinarily stupid to do. And, you know, having your hair... it's, if you have any hair left, you put some artificial hair and then put it in some fancy design and go on pretending that they're 20 years old when they're not. They're like 60, 70, 80. They become old fools. But if one has heard from devotees and practiced Krishna consciousness throughout life, then... old age, or as one gets older, becomes very favorable for making advancement in Krishna consciousness. Of course, the bodily condition is often not very favorable. It can be a struggle even to go to a temple or go anywhere, just like Devadeva Prabhu is now having difficulty going anywhere, doing anything. But I'm sure he's got the realization. It's great news. Great to know you're not the body, right? It's a real relief. I mean, if you think you're the body and then everything in the body goes wrong and it's in use, you think, oh, I can enjoy it. But as you get older, it's simply a vehicle for suffering. And if you think you're the body, it's already, life is already so painful. And then you identify with this body and it's, you know, every time you look in the mirror, you see those wrinkles and you know, the hairs are falling out and there's pain and you can't digest, you can't hear and you can't see. So painful for the materialistic people. But for a devotee, it's great. Wow, it's really true. It's great. I'm so glad I'm not the body. I'm so glad I read in Prabhupada's book. So I'm not, it's really true. Now I've got to act on the spiritual platform. So that hearing throughout our lives about our constitutional position, that becomes our asset, that helps us so that we can go through this very difficult period. It's very difficult in many ways, in a manner that will help us so that we don't get any more bodies. Our aim is to become a nobody. No material body. No material body. What kind of body would you like to get in your next life? Future world. Join Krishna in his eternal festival. But if we're cultivating the consciousness of, or just trying to adjust Krishna consciousness to our own sense gratificatory program, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Unless we go on hearing about the nastiness of material life, which is really a fact. Maya arranges that we can pretend, or she gives us some way we can pretend that material life is actually very enjoyable. But it's like the cat playing with the mouse. The cat is torturing the mouse and then lets the mouse run away and the mouse thinks, ah, very nice. Now I'm free from the cat. And just when the mouse thinks, oh, now I'm just so far away from the cat can never catch me. And then the cat jumps and again catches the mouse and again tortures it for some time and then again lets it go and eventually kills it. The cat is playing with the mouse. Material life is miserable. It's not my opinion. People ask, what do you believe? Prabhupada always says, it's not a question of belief. Birth, death, old age and disease are miserable. It's not... If we don't believe it, it doesn't mean that it's not miserable. Well, I don't believe in the Bhagavad Gita. Well, believe it or not believe it, we have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. And rebirth. Believe it or not, it's not a question of belief, as Srila Prabhupada would always say. It's not a question of belief. So, Krishna consciousness is festive. It's enjoyable, but we have to understand that the enjoyment is by performing everything for Krishna's enjoyment. And as soon as we introduce the element of how we can enjoy, then it's not Krishna consciousness, or at least it's not Krishna consciousness as taught to us by the Vaishnava Acharyas. Then it becomes something else. You can read, if you, this Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, there's some statements by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how it's One man was worshipping Gaura. He was a great devotee of Gaura. Means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then when his daughter died, this man's daughter died, then the man became very disturbed and he said, well, there's no such person as Gaura. If he had actually been Bhagavan, then he wouldn't have let my daughter die like that. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was informed of this, he said that he was not worshipping Gaura. At least he was not worshipping, he thought he was a great devotee of Gaura. Everyone thought he was, but he was not a devotee of Gaura. Not the Gaura that Rupa Goswami worshipped. Rupa Goswami giving the example of the Chatak bird, who will not, there may be water everywhere, but he'll only take water from the cloud. So in the same way, there may be opportunities for enjoyment, or so many things may be done, but a devotee, even if he has to suffer drought, he won't go anywhere. He'll only take Krishna. Even if this attitude, Ashlishava Padritang Pinashtumam, this Gaura himself is saying, that even if Krishna apparently mistreats me, but I know no one but Krishna. So this is the attitude of a devotee, and the attitude that Krishna has to shine my shoes. Otherwise, how can I believe in God unless he comes every morning and kisses my feet? This kind of attitude, this is almost demoniac, verging on demonic. That's why we see these so-called religions, they're actually in many cases demoniac. In the name of religion, they're making all kinds of wars and killing people, and we worship Krishna and they believe in some kind of God who is like some really nasty person who throws people into hell with no chance of ever coming out again. And the pious persons they'll rub their hands and say, ha, 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 very good. Their idea of God is someone who's cosmically nasty. Nasty on an unlimited scale. So Krishna who's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly compassionate, all the good, that's the very meaning of God, that all transcendental desirable qualities are, he is the reservoir of them. But then the people with their perverted mentality, they imagine some God who is the reservoir of all nastiness, the most nasty person possible. And he's on our side, and all you others, you're going to get smashed. In fact, that was a song that we had to sing at school, I remember as a kid, in our religious school. I remember some lines from, because they were trying to be very liberal, and so they used to, instead of singing traditional hymns, they'd sing, what's that called, soul music, something like that, American Negro songs. So one of the lines was gospel music. That's right, gospel. You see, he's in the music line. He knows all that. Gospel songs. So one line I remember, this is supposed to be God speaking. I will smite him ad infinitum. You don't know English enough to laugh. Anyway. Smite means like to smash someone with a club. I will smite him ad infinitum. That's supposed to be God. I'll smash them eternally, unlimitedly. And this is supposed to be God. God's function is to be unlimitedly nasty. So when people say we worship the same God, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure about that. Not exactly the same person. they don't accept that we worship the same God. Anyway, I'm just making the point that once we try to adjust our ideas away from those which are given by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, then we end up in trouble. I mean, it seems unlikely that Jesus was teaching what modern Christianity teaches. So we have to be careful that we don't end up teaching something quite different to that which Vyasadeva taught, which Krishna teaches, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, which Srila Prabhupada taught. It's so easy just to take something out of context and then in the name of time, place and circumstance, the great excuse, time, place and circumstance, just adjust everything. So keep on aiming for the ideal. We should always aim for the ideal, even if we find ourselves in a situation where we're not able to come up to that immediately, but we have to keep on aiming for that, because if we don't aim for the ideal, we won't get there. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that if we're studying and we have to take an exam, and we're try to get 100% marks, then almost certainly we'll at least pass. But if we think that let me just somehow or other pass, then we'll probably fail. So we often hear questions like, well, what's the minimum standard we can do? But why ask that question? What's the minimum we can get away with so we can get, you know, we get Krishna praying with Krishna praying means full, first of all, surrender, which means 100%, not 99%, and definitely not 21%. So that's required. It's just not gonna happen if we're thinking, how much can I get away with and still get Krishna praying? The whole question or attitude from the beginning is such that we'll never attain to Krishna praying just by thinking like that. Oh, we think that, you know, let me find the guru or who'll give me, you know, the most liberal, who'll let me get away with most of all. But then it's not that with this idea, just the guru blesses and then that's all. Then I don't have to do anything. Let him do all the work. Let him go off and do tapasya in the Himalayas and give me all the results. And, you know, I'll enjoy myself you know, because he's a great devotee. How do we know he's a great devotee? Because, well, everyone says he's a great devotee. So he must be a great devotee. So let's, you know, find the one who'll let us get away with the most we can, and we'll still get Krishna prema. And what's this idea that you have to have relationships and then you can learn how to have relationships with Krishna? Well, then you could also say, you have to learn how to enjoy your senses and then you can learn how to enjoy your senses in the spiritual world also. I mean, once you take that argument, it's a very dangerous, isn't it? Then you see, unless you enjoy sex, then unless you enjoy sex with other people's wives, then how can you understand Rasa Leela? That's what some Prakriti Sahajiyas say. They say that. So once you start taking that attitude, that first of all we have to get our material, understand everything materially, and then go to Krishna. In other words, it's the same. There's Sakhi Beki, men who dress as women. The idea that I'll dress as a woman and offer this to Krishna. But that's not what Krishna wants. He doesn't want your smelly body. Even if it's dressed in a sari, it's not the way to do it. It's a complete misunderstanding. So he may think that's rather bizarre, but all kinds of bizarre things. I mean, this idea of offering sausages to Krishna seems to me, it sounds almost as bizarre as dressing in a sari or something. It's like, and a man dressing in a sari and going to be a gopi. So, if you want, you can do it. You can make an experiment. See what happens at the end of life. But in Vaishnava homes or in temples, it's understood the kitchen is the place of Lakshmi. In Puri, the kitchen, that's understood, that's the place of Lakshmi, the temple kitchen. And or in the Gauriya Sampradaya, of course, we say that this place of Radharani. So there, in the kitchen, we are serving, the idea is that we're serving Radha in her service for Krishna. Service of cooking for Krishna. So, we know, we've heard the descriptions of what Yashoda Mai and Radha cook for Krishna. So better cook those items for Krishna. We know that we like various other items, but we don't know if Krishna, well, we do know what Krishna likes, so better stick to what Krishna likes, isn't it? Better learn those things. Okay, I'm now going to change the subject. Let's have some positive thinking. To use a common slogan. Everyone can make a difference. You can make a difference. So we've heard. Actually, it's true in Krishna consciousness. This Manidhar Prabhu, he spoke about one devotee in Slovakia who's organized a business and he's employing so many people and the business is going very well, but his attitude, the attitude of the devotee is more centered on pleasing Krishna than on making lots of money. And Manidhar Prabhu told us how this devotee Parameshwar Prabhu was, sometimes he goes on the street, even though he's busy with his business, sometimes he goes out to distribute books. And then one woman, she said to him, "Oh, why don't you get a job instead of begging?" And he gave her his business card and he said, "Actually, I have a factory with 130 employees. If you want, I can give you a job also." So he's a devotee who's made a difference. He's a householder. But he's developed a business, and because he's Krishna conscious, I don't know if his original intention was to develop Krishna consciousness specifically, but because he's Krishna conscious, that has automatically gone on side by side. Now, another householder devotee who's I can think of, one of my godbrothers, Vaisheshika Prabhu. He's been based in the Bay Area in California for many years, in San Jose, which is Silicon Valley area, Apple computers and other various such companies. So there are many young, intelligent Indians, mostly, not only South Indians, but many South Indians there. So ISKCON in America for many years has not been as vibrant as it was in the early days. But then Vaisheshika Prabhu saw that so many young and materially well-to-do, intelligent Indians are coming. And Vaisheshika Prabhu is one of the long-time book distributors in our movement. Now his body is older, obviously. So he saw these young people coming, and he started to organize them into book distributors. It means they have time off at the weekend. So he organized them for half a day, and he trained them how to distribute books going door to door. And it became very successful. And more people came and are becoming devotees under his guidance, because the general tendency usually in countries outside of India, where there, in the West specifically, where there are Indians coming, is to just smile at them, say hello, take a contribution, and that's as far as it goes. Or some of them may become devotees also, but they generally tend to operate among their own community, because obviously it's easier for them to interact with other Indians. But Vaisheshika Prabhu, he had them, these people, he preached to them, and they took up devotional service, and he sent them out distributing books door to door, or on the streets, or at fairs, or whatever, and approaching the local American people also. So in this way, they got a very good taste of Prabhupada's mercy, and of preaching Krishna consciousness, and then more and more people wanted to join, and it's become a very big thing there. And Vaisheshika Prabhu is traveling around America. Recently he was in England also, and inspiring people that, okay, go out. You're working, you don't have time, full time, but go out at least a few hours every week. And he's inspiring devotees to do that, following on the success of the program in his own area. Now, he was and is a householder devotee. He was for many years maintaining his household by selling water filters. Everyone does something, right? So he was selling water filters. So you could say in many ways he was in the same situation as many of you here are. You're married, you have your family, you're doing something or other to maintain your families, and you're being Krishna conscious as well as you can under the circumstances. But Vaisheshika Prabhu found something more to do. He was preaching, and he gradually engaged people, and it developed more and more and more. So I'm just giving the idea that as householders, you can all make a difference for the spreading Krishna consciousness. You don't have to wait for someone from, you know, like the GBC or temple president to fly in on a Vaikuntha airplane and tell you, do this, do that. You can start to do things. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to the householder. Actually, he gave this order to a householder devotee. Jare dekho tare koho Krishna upadesh amar agyai guru hoya tara edesh. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them about the instruct them in the science of Krishna, and this way become a guru and deliver the land. So everyone can do so according to their capacity. I doubt if Vaisheshika Prabhu, when he started to take out people, householders, and show them how to do book distribution, it's actually very good, because, you know, if you, in that area where he is, or actually, throughout America now, it used to be that Indians had a very bad reputation. They used to think they're just low-class cheating businessmen, which it used to be. That used to be the stereotype of Indians, but many Indians coming now, you know, they're well-educated, well-behaved, the backbone of the IT industry in America, and they're not you don't find them drunk on the streets as you do regular Americans quite often. You know, they're respectable people, so they're earning well, so they're quite well respected in America. So when a young couple comes to your door with their little children and offers books, then people tend to take them, especially as they're trained by Vaisheshika Prabhu how to present. Especially they have a little child, and the child gives the book also. So it's doubtful when Vaisheshika Prabhu, that when he started this, that he could have thought. I don't think he had a plan to, you know, have hundreds of people and then go all over the place to different places and try to and get this going. He's got devotees in many cities and in the Alachua community going out doing book distribution, and it makes a difference. A lot of books go out and a lot of devotees themselves get more inspired. So I doubt when he started that he had any such idea. He was just thinking of the few people that were there around him, but it developed more and more. So, everyone can do according to, just see what you can do. There's another devotee in America, another god brother of mine, Sudarshan Prabhu. Early on in the, before Facebook, I mean, Facebook was only started about what, 2-3 years ago, something like that? I'm not sure. More. Is it 10 years? It seems to have caught on really a lot in the last 2-3 years, is it? I decided not to get into that myself, but it seems to be a big thing. But when the internet was websites, people browsing websites it became just part of people's life, or more or less people's life in many cases. Then he was one of the early devotees to start preaching through the internet. And he's from a relatively small city, Austin in Texas. But then he got contacts. People are interested in all kinds of places all over the world. And he started visiting them. And now he has a whole circuit. He has a worldwide preaching circuit that he goes, and he still keeps in contact by the internet. Sankarshan, is that what I said? I said Sudarshan? Sankarshan, yeah. Sankarshan Prabhu. Yeah, so, he saw some avenue for preaching. He started to develop it. And the same thing, when he started answering people's questions on the internet, I doubt if he thought that he'll be preaching all over the world. But he is, on the strength of that. So everyone can do something according to their capacity. This morning, Revati Mataji was telling me, or told me, sorry to speak Indian English, but anyway, you don't know the difference, that she told me about her, she has a little blog, Hare Krishna Housewife from Sarajevo. It's in Bosnian, so. But she has a regular group of mostly young Muslim girls who read that. And, you know, they're Muslims. They're not ISKCON devotees, but many of them they appreciate. And then gradually she's meeting them personally and introducing them to brings them to a home, gives them prasadam. So like that. Is he indicating something to me? No. Okay. She's never going to be decorated with the title Super Maha Bhagavat. No one's going to say she flew in from Vaikuntha, and there's never going to be in Vyasapur. Well, you never know. But she's doing something, and people are appreciating Krishna consciousness. It helps her to be Krishna conscious also. So the point is, whoever you are, wherever you may be, everyone can do something to make a difference to preach Krishna consciousness. Murari Gupta Prabhu organizes this festival here. So he didn't have to do that, right? Could have just chanted Hare Krishna, looked out the window. But he invited us all here, and he's in bliss. You know, all these people come and make a big mess all over the place. You know, most people, if you go in their garden and make a mess, they become so upset. But he's inviting, please come, more and more. And spends his money sweeter than honey, but he does that. And then there's so many devotees. Ananta Shesh is hosting devotees throughout the year. Well, especially in the summer. And then organizing programs like that. So keeping this, himself and others there in Zada. So like this, keeping the spirit of... He's now the main organizer, yeah. It's, when all the big shots, they fell away, and it's like the rabbit and the hare kind of thing. The hare and the tortoise, yeah. So devotees who are just, going along steadily, and eventually Krishna gives them more and more service. So be careful. If you don't want to surrender to Krishna, don't do any service, because you get more and more and more and more. Actually, we should do service, but the nature of service in Krishna consciousness is that it does expand. It's always expanding. So anyway, you just see what you can do. Try to do something to spread this knowledge, the knowledge and the way of life that Srila Prabhupada has given us. And we don't know how Krishna will reciprocate. Now you may be afraid. Oh, then I'll have so many responsibilities and be too much. But anyway, Krishna will give the capacity to do something. We don't have to wait for someone to tell us, or we can do something. Of course, if there is someone to suggest something, that's nice. But if we're living at a distance from a temple, or we can see something that's... Many devotees are very expert in giving suggestions. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Well, I'm making suggestions here also. I guess I'm in a position where I can... Professional suggestion giver. So, yeah, see everyone, see what you can do. Or if you can assist others in this way. If everyone is engaged in spreading Krishna consciousness, then it all has its effect. Just like I said to Revati Mataji this morning, that... Now what she's doing, it's just like when Indrajyamna Swami came to Sarajevo, you had like 200 devotees doing Harinam. It may not have the same effect as that, but it all contributes. And unless these kind of things are going on, then the movement doesn't go on, because it requires everyone's input. And this kind of little thing, but you never know what the result will be. Sometimes in my youth, I used to think that, what am I doing? I'd go and visit some place and have some little program and go away, and there's no sign of any difference. But gradually, it does. You know, you find out later. Later, I'm in Mayapur, and someone comes. You know, I was visiting Sri Chaitanya Mat, and the pujari said that, oh, when I was in my childhood, you came to my village. I remember you from that time. So he got some impression of that. Many I saw that, not only myself, of course, others who, we may think that people just come and then they go home and then they watch TV and what difference does it make? But it makes it, and many people have told me that in their childhood they saw devotees and then they remain. It makes a big impression, actually. So, just being a devotee makes a difference. We're talking about bridge preaching and bringing people gradually in, but just being a devotee, and that itself makes an impression on people. If they understand what we're doing, how we live our lives, of course some people may mock. That will be there, but then other people who are neutral, they won't remain neutral. They'll be impressed. Just what seems to us normal, like, you know, getting up early in the morning, chanting our rounds, following principles, not watching TV, all this kind of thing, offering food to Krishna. People will think it's strange, there's no doubt, but they'll be impressed also. And we see, like in America, there's that Amish community, they're strange, no doubt. You know about that? There's Amish, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. But it's strange, but people, they're respected because they stick to their principles. They've been doing it and they're convinced of it, and they do have higher principles than the average American, and people see that. And it's not that people are queuing up to join them, but they are respected for that. But we can have people join us also. So, one devotee told me she used to live at Gitanagari farm, which is close to the Amish community there in America. She used to go and visit them sometimes, and she's living in America, born in America, a genuine American, white skin. But for years and years, she never wore any clothing any other than a sari. She doesn't live in a temple now. For years, living at home. And she told me she used to go and visit them, and they would ask the women, because in their community, surprise, surprise, the women and the men don't mix up. She would go and mix with the women. And they would ask her, well, why don't all the others wear this dress also? When they come to visit us, why don't they wear the same dress that you do? So they dress in their dress. So anyway, oh, they're just some thoughts. And any questions about that? Questions? You know, I generally say the same kind of thing every year when I come here, but it's good to say it because I see you all here every year. And going on in the same way, which is good. A lot of times Prabhupada, you think, well, it's very repetitive. But if Prabhupada didn't say it, then we'd forget it. We wouldn't think it's very important. So Prabhupada repeatedly spoke what we needed to hear. So if we don't repeat these things, you know, we have to follow the regulated principles. We have to rise early. We're not the body. If we don't repeat these things, then we don't think it's very important and we forget all about it. And then we end up with all kinds of strange things. But if we just keep to the basic things, follow that, and that's Krishna, the basic things that are given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, all the Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, we just follow that, and then that's Krishna consciousness. And if we don't, it's not Krishna consciousness. So that's why I say the same thing. Same thing. Simple. Simple to understand. Not difficult to understand. So, any questions? Yes. Service in Krishna consciousness keeps expanding. What's the proper attitude when the body can't keep up with it? Well, you have to adjust your service, right? If you, just like on book distribution, if you can't go out as you could previously, then you can do another service, or you can, when you get to that stage, then you're in a good position to inspire others to do so. Just like Vijay Prabhu, he still does, he's been doing book distribution for, you know, probably since, you know, since the previous day of Lord Brahma. In this lifetime, I mean, Vijay means book distribution. So his body is now older, so he doesn't go out by carrying books, but he sits at a book table. People come, he preaches to them, they take books. So adjust. Or it may come, there might come a time at some point where you can't do very much at all. Like Deva, I don't want service. Now he's doing the service of letting other people assist him, because what else can he do? But he did so many years of service. So just do what you can. Sometimes some adjustment is needed. That's all. But if the spirit of service is there, then we won't stop serving, because that's what we do. We can't think of doing anything else. Not that now I'm old, now I've got an excuse to enjoy myself. Yeah, anything else? Who's going to lead the kirtan at 6:30? I think not me, because my voice is getting a little out. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Okay. Well, I suggest that why don't we have a good enlivening kirtan? That's, you know, it's good to have that, right? Where you're jumping, dancing, singing loudly. It's good to have that from time. I mean, it doesn't have to be like very passionate, where the aim is just to like make as much noise as we can, but joyful in the sense. This is festive. Festive mood means have sankirtan, chanting and dancing. Afterwards, prasadam. Not only prasadam and then no glorification of Krishna. Yeah.
I have a question regarding this, what you said, that this should
We should strive for the ideal. You question that principle?
No, I wonder if we know that we live in this Kali Yuga, right?
We know that we live in this Kali Yuga. Well, maybe we don't know. That's maybe we think we're living in Vaikuntha. That's the problem.
So I wonder, you know, we are all trying to you know, invite others or to change the society, to build better families, better societies, but is it possible in this Kali Yuga?
Is it possible in Kali Yuga to change society? Yes, it is. You've changed, right? So that's one change.
Yes, but we can only change ourselves.
All right, so that's a change. Yes. Society has changed by your becoming Krishna conscious. You're part of society, right? So society's changed. So you go and change others. That's how society changes, right?
Okay. Yes. Okay. So,
okay. So?
So the second question is, if possible.
That's it. Society's changing.
About freedom in the individual, because
Of the individual.
I believe that...
You believe. Well, we don't...
I mean,
You have the freedom to say, I believe, but that doesn't make it a fact.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't know how to ask questions. Perhaps,
yeah, yet, right. But, you have to learn how to ask questions.
The question is regarding this individual choice that I believe we still have. You know, and the main choice is we either can be with Krishna or without Krishna, right? But on the other hand, it's...
We can choose to serve Krishna or not to serve Krishna.
Yes, okay, in this way. Let's put it in this way. We can either serve Krishna or not serve Krishna. But on the other hand, we still depend on karma or Krishna's mercy, right? There is a saying that nothing is going on without Krishna's will or whatever.
So without Krishna's sanction. That's sanction. Different to Krishna's
okay.
will.
Okay, so
think
how,
about it. Think
so
about
how,
it.
So
think
how
about it. Think about this. Krishna's sanction is different to Krishna's will. Try to understand that. I'm going to go now. Excuse me. I need a little break before the arati. Think about that. All right? If you want, you can ask the question some other time. Or there are so many senior devotees here, but I have to go. Excuse me. I'm using my free will to get out of here.